We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. With me, as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And joining us again, a man who has been a Warrior fan for the better part of three decades, the CEO of Made in Golden State and one of the original guests on this show, Justin, trapped in Golden State Taylor. What's going on, Justin?
Just happy to be back, man. I thought I had already seen my last time in the huddle.
No.
You guys have moved on. You moved on. You got the GM. Got Roz on.
If I'm being honest, 99% of the reason I had you back on is just so that you would say that. Yeah. So now that you've given us that props, if you wouldn't mind leaving, man, I would really... No, it is...
See you next year.
It is our pleasure. We love to have you. What a great time to be a Warrior fan. Tons of stuff to talk about today. Before we jump in to the Warriors update, one really quick show note. What I want to do is give credit where it's due. I don't know if you guys were able to pick this up. Over the last couple weeks, I've been having to work from home. And last week, we were kind of weirded out about how we're going to do the show. Scotty was nice enough to hop on BART, come all the way out to Oakland, and record with us. And ironically enough, I actually got an email from somebody about it. B in Oakland writes, "Why did last week's show sound like you guys recorded on a speakerphone in a bathroom?" So I figured I'd run that by Scott. Scott, any news for B in Oakland?
Did you record it in a bathroom?
No, it was not recorded in a bathroom, but it was recorded with Bram's dog like scrambling around the house with me frantically trying to push the dog out of the room.
A quick behind-the-scenes look, because what he just said is only half of the terrible situation. Not only did my dog spring in the room, my dog is crazy sick right now, literally was wearing a diaper and had its diaper when it ran in while we were recording. So not only did it make noise, but I had to hear Scott whine about the noise for a while. Did you notice the bathroom quality, Justin, or not at all?
You threw me off, man. I just couldn't think of a better way to start off a Warriors podcast than to talk about the shit in your dog's diaper. So, well done. Well done.
Yeah, I appreciate you keeping the joke alive. Let's go ahead and jump right into the Warriors update. Same role, gentlemen. There has been four games since our last podcast. Let's not go through each of them individually. Instead, let's just talk about kind of the macro points that we've noticed. Let me also point out the Warriors are now 8-0, the best start in West Coast history, and it's not like it's coming against losers. These guys have played five of those games against Western Conference playoff teams, and last night's win, although Detroit traditionally hasn't been that good over the last couple of years, they were 5-1.
Were you surprised that 8-0 is the record for the best start in a Western Conference team? That surprises me.
What the hell was our record last year? I mean, I should have done some research before we jumped in, but I was trying to remember that.
I think they started like 5-2 last year.
Okay. It wasn't 8-0. Yeah. I know that.
Oh, I mean, it feels damn good. And I'll give us our first macro point, and it's this. The Warriors' excellence is nowhere near as fragile as I thought it to be. And here's what the hell I mean. During last year, even when they were en route to a championship, 67 wins, the whole nine yards, we kept talking about, we're one slip away. An injury happens, we'll be screwed. If Steph gets cold, we're not going to be able to maintain this. We kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Now, this year, you know, outside the last few games, Klay has not been playing well. They don't have their head coach. They lost Bogut, you know, and despite...
Which used to be the thing. We needed Bogut.
The linchpin, you know, and we have not only not missed a beat, we've excelled. We look better than we did last year. This excellence is sustainable. It's not going anywhere.
Let me put it in perspective. You introduced me saying I've been watching the Warriors for three decades, right? But this isn't the best basketball we've seen the Warriors play in the last three decades. This is the best basketball I've seen, period, in the last three decades. I mean, the level that they're playing at is rivaled only by the Jordan Bulls. I really don't have anything else to compare it to. It's dominant, that dominant.
Do you see Klay said he thinks that they might be able to win 70 games?
That's crazy, man. There's no way that they can win 70 games. That's just asking too much of these guys.
They have a shot as long as everybody stays healthy. I mean, they're dominating.
I mean, here's the quote, and then I want to hear you guys both argue it out. It was on some super random like Google Hangout commercial for that shooting technology that Klay is pimping out now. Uh-huh. But they asked him, can you guys get 72 wins? And here's what he said, quote, "That's going to be a tough one. We'll try. There are so many good teams. We'll try. We did get 67 wins last year, which was an amazing feat. We might be able to get 70. It's going to depend a lot on health, obviously, and a lot of lucky bounces that go our way." Now, right there, he's playing it close to the vest, right? Like, he's not going all in. Then he must have taken, you know, a shot. Like, I'm not sure what it was, but he continues to say, quote, "72 wins, that's a lot of wins, man. I don't know if that will be done again, but hey, we might be of the team to do it because we just reached 67, and if we stay focused and we take every game serious, we should have a chance to reach 70. So, you know, he definitely...
That's a lot of talking for Klay. Is it me, or is that just like the longest statement I've ever heard him
make? It was actually his father talking behind him, and he was just moving his mouth. Exactly. So that's what he said. when I first heard it, because that was about a week ago, I think. The Warriors were 4-0. I was with you, Scott. No way. It's ridiculous. I'm still expecting them to win 62, you know, somewhere around there. Then since that, you know, these last four games unfold, including that 50-point shellacking that you attended and all the rest, I'm not saying they're, you know, I wouldn't bet money on them win 70, but I wouldn't bet against it necessarily either.
Well, what do you expect them to say? I mean, we're not going to be as good as last year. Of course, their goal is to improve on last year, and to improve on 67 wins, you got to hit 70, right?
I think you got to hit to 68, but to me, the idea is like, if you're at a position where you could win 70, then that means you can probably start resting guys, and I think today's basketball is different than the Jordan era Bulls when guys didn't rest. Popovich hadn't sort of made that a popular thing to do. And I think this team down the stretch is going to rest guys.
We get a rest every fourth quarter. What are you talking
Why
about?
Why are we moving on so quickly from Scott punking you with math? That was fantastic. Have you gotten over that already, or are you feeling okay?
Did I mention I just had a second kid a month ago?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's right. I heard 67 it. Plus no, one is in fact 68.
I had nothing.
I did.
Nothing.
I loved it. I loved it.
He does get caught. I'm sure the sleepless nights with two kids.
Fair enough.
No, but it's been so long since I've seen you. How worried are you about this team? Because last time you and I spoke, you were extremely worried on route to that championship.
Let's never talk about that podcast again. My God, that was a tough... If that's what you guys are referencing, the
episode you
guys
did. Well, that was the last time
I
spoke to Scott.
Okay, yeah.
Fair enough. I've never seen someone so concerned and jumping off bandwagons like there was, you know...
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to this team right now, am I concerned with where things are at? No. Do I think they played great against Sacramento? No. Do I think they played great against the Pistons? No. It's funny to say that when it ends up being double-digit wins, but when you come after games where they just took the lead and never looked back versus Sacramento and the Pistons where you're letting teams back in, flirting with it getting down to 4-6, and then taking it back up again, doesn't feel that great.
That literally leads back to my first point, then I'll push this over. One of the things that I meant on their excellence is sustainable and is not as fragile is I used to think, in fact, let me put that a different way. I would imagine that one of the reasons that Charles Barkley believed that a jump shooting team would never win a championship, if you have a cold night, it's over, right? Warriors have had two cold nights, one in both. You know, I mean, that this team is built in a way where they are getting over the normal conception we have of limitations of a jump shooting team. I mean, they really are able to succeed. And I think it's because their defense.
It's absolutely because of their defense.
So, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win 70, but I am saying that this in particular success, I believe, is going to be long term. I think we're going to be looking at another long playoff run.
Yeah, if you play that type of defense, you can have off-shooting nights, and that's what Barkley and those guys who are anti-jump shooting teams don't take into account about right. This Warriors squad is they play crazy tight defense.
Yep.
And so, number one, what that does is it limits the other team's ability to score, but two, it's creating turnovers, and so you're actually getting like easy shots where you may be missing the three ball, but you're getting layups yep. when you're not shooting the three.
The next point I wanted to spit out there is that our boy Festus, I mean, we kind of talked about this during the last episode, but this guy is not just grown. I think he's taken over the starting center. And whatever it is he did over the offseason, I mean, let's go ahead and enroll everybody in that program. This kid is going to be getting or has been averaging about a double-double over the last three games. None of it's looked over his head. He has developed so much in like the last 3 months, man.
He's doing things that... We've kind of just wanted from Bogut the last couple of years, right? All you got to do is roll to the hoop. They're going to give you so much space. Just roll to the hoop and dunk it. That's all you have to do to get your 10 points a game, right? And Festus, you know, obviously behind the scenes, they've been working on that with him.
Well, contract year. I mean, yeah. The contract year, yeah. People turn it on in those years.
Well, and put it into perspective, right? First year, he couldn't catch the ball. Throwing it to him, he might as well have been wearing boxing gloves. He could not catch the ball. 2 years ago, he missed the entire season. Last year, he missed 43 games. This year, I'm not saying that, you know, he's Shaquille O'Neal.
Still don't feel great about
he's
it.
He's taken heat check jump shot or heat check jump hooks. He's literally gotten hot enough in games where he's decided, you know what? I'm going to see if this one falls. Think about what that means for someone who couldn't catch the ball before. And his block against Filthy Blake in that Clipper game was the most iconic moment of a remarkably successful and early season. Man, that thing got me out of my seat. That was, I have not been that fired up for a defensive play. I can't remember when. And by the way, you, Blake Griffin, and your flashy dunks. Apparently, that's no longer flying here, even when Bogut's hurt.
Well, speaking of Festus in the contract year, I feel like the Warriors behind closed doors have all said, Fez, we are going to get you paid. You just keep rolling to the hoop, and we're going to keep feeding you lobs. Because, I mean, think about how often is Draymond just lobbing them up there? Everybody's just setting them up, setting the table for him. They want to get him going.
Festus talked both about how Draymond's getting him off and where his current confidence level is recently. Here's Festus.
How high is your confidence right now?
As a team, our confidence...
No, for you. For you individually, yeah.
Well, my confidence is pretty high. Just I'm healthy, and I'm my teammates have been doing a good job of keeping me up. You know, they look for me on offense and on defense. You know, they've been helping me out as well. So, you know, my confidence is pretty high, just as regards to my teammates.
That's your second career double-double. Last time, my partner Tom Tolbert back at Oracle said that you should be buying Draymond Green dinner with all those lob passes.
Yeah, Draymond's been doing a great job of finding me, but... He should be buying me dinner for all those assists as well. No, I'm just playing. No, he's been doing a great job. Draymond's, like they say, the heart and soul of our team, and he gets everybody going, and that's just his way of getting me going.
Justin, have you noticed that Scott's just grinning ear to ear because we're talking about his best friend, Festus? He's playing
it
cool,
too. No, it's because he just talked about Draymond getting him off.
He's playing it cool. He doesn't want to push it too far, but we both know that you're hella close with him. You can, like, text him every 30 minutes. Like,
two
hey,
things can
me,
be
kind
equally
thing,
true.
Or...
Yeah, well, no, I think the... Do you think this is basically sort of this year's version of Draymond taking David Lee's spot last year, where David Lee gets the early injury, then Draymond takes over, and
no,
there's no looking back?
I don't.
So does Bogut get his starting role back?
I don't think it matters. I think that there's 48 minutes at the center spot every night, and I think that they're going to pretty much evenly split them because we need both of their skill sets.
I think it's a crossover. I do agree with you. I do think there's an element of that. I don't think he's going to get a starting job back. I also think it's very similar to Harrison Barnes starting over Iguodala in that you're saving Iguodala for the playoffs. Our biggest concern about Bogut constantly is that he's going to get hurt, right? And we've always said, specifically you and I, Scott, over the last podcast, was maybe it's his style of play, whatever it is, it's an inevitability. This guy is going to get hurt. If we can put him on the bench, play him less minutes, still get the same production that Justin's talking about, we're eliminating that possibility.
Best big off the bench in the entire league.
Right?
And it's not going to be a situation like with Draymond where it's like, if you put David Lee back on the floor, it's detrimental to the team. This is actually allowing us to bring a guy off the bench that's going to change the entire formation and throw a totally different curveball at the defense.
I start him, no question. Do you?
Well, that means that Bogut is now dealing with the second string guys, right? So I haven't seen him work with Iguodala and that set of players. I love with Bogut how Steph and Clay really work off him, and he does some great, like, backdoor passes. Is that going to be true to a guy like Livingston?
Here's why I think it'll work. That second unit, specifically Iguodala, just while you were saying is what made me think of it, is filled with intelligent players. And Bogut's offensive game isn't skill level, right? He just knows the game so well. He catches those guys on those back doors. I would hope that he can use kind of the mutual intelligence between he and Iguodala and get easy shots. I don't know. I mean, you know, you're right. What he's going to lose is offensive creators.
How many starting units in the league can score against our second unit?
Right.
With Livingston, Iguodala, and Bogut, that's a better defensive lineup than any starting unit in the league.
So hook, line, and sinker. I mean, quick vote. You guys know where I stand. I would absolutely start Festus going forward. What would you guys do?
I'd start Bogut. I don't think they should mess with what has worked in the past.
But they've been winning. It's not like that. You know, they've had some kind of mess up in their success.
I think Bogut is better, kind of giving him minutes early and then sort of phasing him out from there.
Do you agree with that?
The winning ain't gonna stop one way or the other. To be perfectly
honest,
you
really don't care. You think
I could care less? Huh. Like I said, 48 minutes, 24 apiece is how you keep Bogut upright and get Azili the touches he needs to keep on improving, you know, because if anything, the argument would be for Azili to start just to get his reps up, you know. The more reps he gets in the regular season, because right now I'm still not in a position where I think come postseason, come Western Conference Finals, come Finals, that Azili is going to be doing this. You know what I mean? It's like, I know what we're going to, you know what you're going to get from Bogut every night. Azili, you know, he's getting off because other teams haven't figured out that they actually have to cover him.
He's getting off because Draymond is involved. Sorry.
I mean, God.
I couldn't resist that. I mean, I understand what you were saying. Also, Festus has never really delivered in big playoff tense moments, at least as a starter. We'll see whether or not he gets there. I mean, talk about good problems to have. You know, that we can argue about which one of these guys should be starting.
Let's face it. Draymond's the starting center in the playoffs anyway.
Fair enough. Here's the other thing that I noticed. It looks like Klay's finally finding his game. So he started off terribly. I looked this up, started the season averaging 13.8 on 44% shooting. After last night, he finally has consecutive games with at least 4 3-pointers and is averaging 20 points on 49% shooting from the last three. One, were you guys worried about him before this recent surge? And two, do you believe he's back?
I'm not worried, and I don't think it really matters whether he's back or not, because even when he's playing terrible, you have to respect him. He's stretching the floor. He's spacing out for other guys. You know, it's funny to think about, and tell me if I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
But in the Warriors' rotation, Klay Thompson's the least intelligent player.
And, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not even close, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's how good this team is.
That's
you
not
know
that
what
crazy
I mean?
To think about.
An all-star is your least, you know, the player with the lowest basketball IQ is an all-star.
I have never seen somebody be a worst fouler. I'm sure they have analytics up the ass for this kind of thing. He has definitely committed the most fouls that have led to a three-point play.
My favorite thing when we talk about Klay is I'm sure most of our audience hasn't been with us long enough to remember that you hated him and wanted to trade him for Danny Green. You know, and like we've completely kind of glossed over that. And occasionally you'll say really positive things, but every now and again you'll tip your filthy Danny Green loving heart and show us how much you still kind of hate Klay. It's just fantastic for me.
Would you still keep Barnes over him?
Barnes over Klay?
In a vacuum.
No, I was wrong. I would keep Festus over Barnes, too. I still don't understand. I don't want to get sucked down in a Harrison Barnes rabbit hole. But I can look at almost everyone else on the team and understand exactly what they contribute.
It's all good because it's Barnes for Durant in the offseason. So we'll get into that later.
I think it's going to be during the season. But I really, his value to me is not evident, not yet. And the idea that he passed up that money is just ludicrous. But you know, that is what it is. We'll see how it goes. Before we get too far from Klay, we are not the only ones who is not worried about him. Also, we're not the only one who thinks he's back. Here's Coach Walton talking about his resurgence.
Luke, are you guys getting the sense that Klay's back? It looked like you found his shot tonight.
Klay was, yeah. I mean, we're not, Klay's one guy we're not that worried about. We know what he's going to do, you know, over the stretch of a season. And it was nice to see, you know, to see him hit shots tonight. But I thought he also did a great job of not forcing shots. You know, I feel like earlier in the season he was, you know, he was trying to force them every once in a while and take some really tough shots tonight. If he was open, he shot it. If not, he moved it on to somebody else, and that's when we're at our best.
All right, well, I'm glad you brought it to a Walton quote, because I think that brings up a huge part of the season is Luke Walton and the success that he's had so far. We finally got some insight into what Kerr's role is. I don't know if you saw these reports, but...
Making Bleacher Report videos?
No. Yeah, we'll definitely cover it.
Free throw contest against Steph.
So Kerr is still having headaches. He's still having fatigue. But he attends home games at least and talks to Walton and the other coaches.
At halftime.
Right? At halftime. Kerr watches in the locker room and then talks to them before they talk to the players. And then at least in the opener, he actually talked to the players at halftime. It seems weird to me. It's like, and he attends practice.
I wouldn't want that.
So, yeah, it's like if I'm Walton, I'm like, Kerr, either you're here or you're gone, but don't talk to me during
the
game.
Let me just answer this. Is it working?
No, of course it's working. But yes, the entire idea of this podcast is that they're 8-0, remarkably successful, and marching towards an amazing year. But if I'm Walton, just personally speaking, if I'm Walton and I'm desperate to assess, because I'm young, right? And this head coaching thing came out of nowhere. I mean, you didn't think this was going to happen. Suddenly you're thrust into it. And you've got an existing relationship with the players where you're trying to be their boy, you know, because you're the assistant coach. So it's a different thing. Establishing your authority early on has got to be so important. And the only way you can really do that is show them, look, I'm the head coach. If Kerr's talking to him before the first game, if they see you going and talking to Kerr at halftime, doesn't that undermine that? I mean, I
No, because Walt will be the first to tell you, that guy's the head coach. Yeah. I'm just keeping it Seymour.
Bother you? I'm not asking if it's right or wrong. I'm asking if you were Walton, would it bother you?
No, not one bit.
Really?
Not one bit.
Scott Duncan with math. He's something.
He's getting exposure he wouldn't get otherwise. Who cares who's talking behind the scenes? He wants to be a head coach. And right now, teams around the league are noticing. They don't care who's talking in the locker room at halftime.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, this team is historically great. Do what you're doing. And anybody that tells you to do something different doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Just how is it working logistically? Like, Kerr is in the locker room, but then when they're about to talk, he kind of sneaks out, lets the players come in. He talks to Walton somewhere and then sort of hides himself while Walton goes in, talks to the players. And then Kerr goes back into the locker room once the game has started and finished watching?
Does Kerr hear Walton talk to the players after they've talked? Because that would make me nervous too. If I'm Walton, right? And I've gone through that first half. I've thought about what the hell I'm going to tell them, what we're working on, blah, blah, blah. Then I run into Kerr. And for obvious reasons, we're different people. He's going to have different thoughts. I'm not going to want to have to change this little thing I've come up with, you know? But if Kerr's in there with me and he knows what the hell he just told me, now I've got this weirdo pressure where I've got to say what he said but still kind of getting in my own points. Again, obviously, it's working. But no, that would piss me off, man. That would bother me for sure.
Tell me, would this piss you off if you're Walton? His wins are not going to his record. So Steve Kerr, as the official head coach, is still getting all these wins, even though he's not coaching.
After every game, I've texted out Luke Walton has never lost a game as an NBA coach. And
Hashtag fire Steve Kerr.
Okay, and a person who will remain nameless keeps pointing out super candidly to me, like, we'll respond on there. He hasn't won any games either. He is an interim head coach. So if you are, in fact, listening, it is you. I do not give a shit about that distinction. Please stop tweeting me that.
But he is technically correct.
Yeah, it's actually you. It's Scott. Yeah. He's been doing that to me. Surprising.
How many Twitter accounts do you have, man?
Well, it's really interesting to me because, I mean, imagine this scenario. They're saying Kerr may not come back to the All-Star break. Let's say things go really wrong and Luke Walton coaches this whole thing, this whole season, and then wins the championship. And here you have Steve Kerr with a record that he didn't even deserve. And I don't know. It's like, what does that do to the record books and the Hall of Fame?
If I'm Steve Kerr and they're getting close to going back in and they've had a better year, I don't care if I'm paralyzed for life. I'm coming back for the playoffs. You know, like I'm not chancing him screw with my legacy, because if they win again and I haven't coached a game, you know, we'll still believe he's a great coach, but there's a little bloom off that rose.
There's going to be one chair on the sideline missing because there's got to be a spot for the wheelchair.
What about this?
Professor X.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what Steve Kerr is at this point. That's a good... Man, someone needs to get on that with their Photoshop skills, man. Just Steve Kerr as Professor X. Because who cares what Luke Walton is doing? He's not the catalyst here. This is a college team full of seniors. And the foundation has been laid so thick that they're going to be good no matter what happens.
Yeah. Champions start with tequila and coach from wheelchairs, man.
Man, the arrogance over here. It's just one championship and it's just outrageous. I mean, this guy is like Homer Central here.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm watching one of the best teams in the history of basketball. I don't know what you're watching.
I don't think you can say that. They won one championship, dude, and they started out some BS regular season. Yeah,
they were a 67-win team. They had one of the largest point differentials in the history of the NBA, and they've come out this season looking better.
Also, put it into context, man. We had to eat shit as Warrior fans for decades to finally have something to crow about. If they had won 45 games last year, I'd probably be telling you it's the best team I've ever seen.
Oh, for sure.
The idea that they put up 67, like, of course we're embellishing.
We've
like,
been
how,
hanging
how
our hat.
How can you do anything else, man? Of course we're doing that.
We've been hanging our hat on Run TMC, and we believe for 20 years, and now we're actually watching a team that literally is historically great. There's no way to cut it any other way.
I don't think I'm embellishing, but cut me back if I am. I don't think the Bay has had a superstar of Steph's quality since Barry Bonds. I think that he has quickly become appointment television, and what he is doing on the court on a nightly basis, people who are not Warrior fans are recognizing is magical. He's an artist. I mean, it's different, and we've said every platitude we can say on this show, but he is literally taking it to another level.
Well, one thing we haven't said is Curry has improved his range this year, which was already insane. Do you think there's a point where, like, he could literally take maybe 5 feet across the half court line and start...
Oh, he's a threat.
That.
He's always a threat.
But
he can shoot a better percentage than most guys from that spot.
Realistically, do you think there's a point where it becomes just impossible for a shooter to shoot, you know, a good percentage? Obviously, if they did it from the other baseline, That's just not going to be a high percentage. I don't care who you are. It'll never happen. But Steph, I think...
What's your question? Will he start taking those, like taking ones like 10 feet behind the three-pointer?
Maybe it won't happen this year, but say in the off-season and off-seasons to come, will Steph be able to push his shooting range to the point where it's a legitimate threat from half court? Like, that's the level.
Here's when I think he'll do it. We asked Marcus Thompson way back when, how many teams do you think Steph's going to play for? And he said probably more than one, but the second one won't be, you know, way out, or 10, 15 years, because his skill set translates to the long game. You know, he'll be an outside shooter somewhere. For as long as his handles and quickness are where they are now, he won't have to do that because he'll get closer shots, you know, so he can get within the three-point line. When that disappears, you know, and all he is a shooter, and he's got to develop that range, we will see that.
Still deadly. From,
you know, but that's when I think we'll see those, like, 75-foot bombs. I bet you when he takes a half-court, when I take a half-court shot, it doesn't look like a jump shot. It looks like I'm pushing a ball towards the basket. I'm guaranteed probably up to, like, three-quarters court, he's still taking, like, a regular jump shot. That guy is different than anybody else.
The thing is you can't put it past him because he's got a work ethic like I've never seen before. And, you know, like, I was thinking about it. There's an award I want to give him. It's the most improved player award ever. I've never seen a player improve the way he has. 5 years ago, we didn't like watching him dribble up the court. Now he's one of the best ball handlers, you know, in the top three in the entire league.
Right.
Shooting, everything he does, he keeps improving. So all these things we're talking about right now, don't tell him he can't. Or maybe, on the other hand, tell him he can't. Right. Because he's going to prove people wrong. That's what he does.
The rookie season, Monte told him that you couldn't win with him. And incidentally, they were right.
And he was terrible.
Get rid of Monte, and it all ultimately came together.
He wasn't that good in his rookie year. He could shoot, but he was a liability everywhere else.
And he didn't ever get any options. I mean, they didn't center the offense around him the way they should have.
And now he's in the conversation that only guys named Jordan, James, Durant, you know, greatest players ever. Those are the conversations that he's entering.
The last thing I wanted to throw out there is that, well, it's one point said two different ways. Draymond Green is almost like a baby Magic Johnson right now. He is literally almost averaging a triple-double. He's averaging 9.8 points, 8.4 boards, 7.4 assists. And the second point I wanted to make about that, the Warriors are playing so well, nobody gives a shit. I mean, we're not talking
and
about
he's
that.
Punking it means players on the other end.
He
too.
Is playing phenomenally well, and we are so head faked by Festus's leap, by Steph's brilliance, you know, by Clay's mini slump, that Draymond's excellence is just kind of being expected. So yet another strike against your gallivanting, man. At some point, I'm going to get you to accept that argument.
It's insane. He's the perfect complement to everybody on this team.
I have another Warriors-related thing, but any other macro points? What else have you guys noticed over the first
game? Well, it was in that Sacramento game where I felt like that was just pure Draymond willing them to victory. He was just not going to let them lose that game. And it was awesome to see. He just wanted it more than anyone else.
Can you imagine how annoying it would be to lose a Draymond Green? Like, to be in, like, a real heated playoff matchup where everything matters, and he's playing you dirty but fair, so they're not calling it. You're getting beat up and stuff. He is nonstop talking, and he's good. I mean, like, you're going home hating that guy in a way I think it would be basically impossible.
He needs to calm down with the lob passes of Festus, though. He's averaging at least 1.5 turnovers on errant lobs.
When he's getting Festus
off. But he's getting them back on the other end. So, Draymond, do what you do, man. Get Festus paid. Do whatever you want, man. Don't listen to Scott, all right? All he is a nervous Nelly. He's going to be sitting here.
They're best friends, Justin. Watch out, man.
He's over here worried about whether or not they can get to 70 wins,
best
you know?
Friends.
68, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry that I'm trying to help players improve and point out things that could be done better. I mean, there are areas for improvement for anyone.
Justin, quick, 67 plus 1 is... Good job. Yeah. That a boy. Here's the next thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. Also fits within the Warriors update, but a little bit offbeat. Have you guys seen any of the Game of Zones thing? For those who have not seen it, it's a parody that the Bleacher Report puts together over the Game of Thrones. It's an animated deal where they bring in various teams and use characters from the Game of Thrones, and they have various jokes about it. Well, in the offseason, I guess Steve Kerr used his connects at TNT and had the Bleacher Report people put together a Game of Zones specifically for the Warriors. Have you guys seen it at all?
I haven't enjoyed a cartoon since I was 6 years old watching the Transformers, man.
Yeah, get your cereal. I poured me a nice bowl of Lucky Charms, maybe some Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
If you haven't seen it, go YouTube Warrior Game of Zones, Z-O-N-E-S. But for now, I'm not focusing on the cartoon itself, but an article that Scott was nice enough to forward off to me, and it was about the making of it. So I guess they wanted to have some authenticity, right? So Steve Kerr goes to Nick Uren, his special assistant, the guy who gave all those tips during the playoffs, and asked him to give the Bleacher Report people inside tips, real things that were happening so they could use it in the cartoon.
Nick Uren, the most versatile guy on any coaching staff in the league.
Yeah, exactly right. The guy who keeps Kerr's calendar and wins, you know, entire playoff series.
Is he Walton's guy now, or does that?
He's special assistant to Walton now. I'm almost sure of it. You have to, don't quote me, but he is like some, he moved up a chair for
fair
sure.
To say that you definitely guessed that and actually have no idea whether or not he is.
No, he moved up a chair. He's actually on the bench in games now, if I'm not mistaken.
What do you think, Scott? I think he knows what he's talking about, or you just make that up?
Wait, so if Kerr comes back, then he's now the special assistant to Kerr again?
Of course.
Okay. Talk about hijacking the topic. Nonetheless, so Nick Uren, whoever he is currently assisting, and wherever the hell he sits on the bench, did come up with a few gems, two of which we either heard or aren't that exciting, but cool enough. He told them about how Barbosa said, we are going to be championship. And I guess every time the Warriors get a day off, Brandon Ruff screams out, get what you need, in a super high-pitched voice. Entertaining, not gold. This one's gold.
What would have been gold is if you would have tried to imitate it.
I thought you were going for it. But I kept it in pocket. But the gold one that he said is that Andre Iguodala, every time he takes a jump shot that he feels it's going in, will scream out, hold my dick. And when he's really hot, will shorten that to just hold it. How amazing is that?
Phenomenal. And not unexpected for a guy like Andre, I feel. I mean, he's always a little quirky, so I could see him saying something weird. But I don't think of him as much of a trash talker.
Even better, because you don't have to bleep that, right?
What the whole
thing? You're just quoting, right?
I'm just trying to
your
use
quote,
it.
So you have to leave that in,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
It is definitely left in.
Like, I went in the office, like, had an in particularly good copy at the copy machine and just screamed out, oh, my dick. I mean, why can't we use this in everyday usage? I mean, it seems just immediately applicable to everything.
But with the mics we have these days, I feel like oftentimes stuff like that will get picked up.
How have we not heard it?
How have we not? That is honestly, I mean, this should have come out well before then.
I wonder if it's just a practice thing.
I don't think so. I mean, the way that article made it seem, it sounds like he was screaming out, hold it, quite frequently during games. Were you guys talkers when you play hoop? Do you talk a lot?
For sure.
Yeah, dude?
For sure.
I mean, like, aggressively, like...
That's part of the fun of playing basketball, of watching basketball. That's actually one of the things I was talking to you guys about earlier, is that the art of heckling is a dying thing in NBA crowds, and I'm glad that the Warriors are doing it on the court, you know?
How about you, Scotty? Did you talk big?
I do like to talk trash, but I feel like it's often, it only will come once somebody gets me riled up enough to where I'll just kind of get baited by them. And then once the floodgates are open, then it's on.
I'm completely reactionary. And it's generally the same thing over and over again. I'll take a jump shot. Someone says it's off and I go off in your ass. And it doesn't matter if it goes in or not. It's almost like an involuntary thing. Once that's happened, I feel like there's some obligation. I have to keep talking.
I always feel bad afterwards.
Oh, me too.
No, I don't like the way I handled it.
And I'll go and have like fake friendship with the guy. You know, like go tell the guy like good game or something. Like I'll go way out of my
way.
Just
on the court.
You know,
like
something like that. You want to grab a drink? I don't even know the guy. The one time I will constantly talk is horse. Constantly. I usually call it the talking game. And I'm just like speaking nonstop while you're shooting, nonstop while I'm shooting. I mean, I just keep it going. But beyond that, I'm not a big shot.
Why people play horse is just beyond me. That is the worst basketball.
What are you talking about? Horse is fantastic.
Honestly, that's one of the things that's missing most in the NBA nowadays.
You want to add it to the All-Star
the days of like Tim Hardaway and Gary Payton are so far distant memories. It's like nowadays they, you know, Draymond, he talks all the time, and I'm actually surprised he hasn't gotten more tees for doing it.
Yeah,
but it's like, why did they have to wussify the league to the point where these guys can't talk anymore? I mean, they understand now that if they throw a punch, they're losing game checks, and you don't see punches thrown anymore, but let them talk.
Well, I mean, we always have Andre Iguodala. We just need better cameras and microphones, apparently. Last topic, and it's a new segment, but not really. We've been doing this over and over and over again through the 3 years of the show, but this time I actually came up with a title for it. It's called Social Justice. Ideas that something happens to us, we see something out there, we're not sure whether or not it was socially acceptable, so we put it on the table, we hash it out and figure it out. It is. This one, Justin, in fact, involves you. So it is
Do you want me to tell the story?
I mean, you'll get your chance to put it on there. All so, right. Scotty, I went to the season opener, and this one, it was an in particularly exciting one because they're giving out the rings. You know what I mean? Like, they got the championship. They're busting out the banner. The Warriors are pulling out all the stops. They've spent unnecessary money, and one of the things they've done is they want to recreate the playoff atmosphere by giving out shirts. This time, I think they were blue shirts. They're waiting on your seat. You know, they push it so far that for those who don't put on the shirt, they do the shirt cam, and you got to put it on, right? So we've got 19,596 people who sit in this arena. From what I can tell, 19,595 are putting on the shirt. Now, one other note before we really get to the point of it. Justin has done a phenomenal job of creating a t-shirt company. I mentioned it. He's the CEO of Made in Golden State. They've got a lot of nice t-shirts, including one that he's wearing right now. He was the one person who refused to put on the shirt. He was wearing the shirt that he made. Now,
oh yeah, this is the longest setup ever, by the way.
Socially acceptable? You know what I mean? Like, did he have some obligation to actually put on the real shirt?
What color was the shirt?
Oh, complete black, I think. Completely different shirt. He stuck out like a sore thumb.
Thank you. I appreciate you noticing. I hope another 20,000 people notice too. That was kind of the point.
Scott, socially acceptable or not?
Of course it's not socially acceptable. We've already established that this guy is like the biggest homer. There is nothing. Steph Curry could go like murder the entire team, and Justin's saying this is like the best thing anyone has ever done for
and
the game.
And he can't even put on the shirt, right?
And can't even put on the shirt to support his team.
Justin?
So, wow. Wow, that is a real surprising revelation.
Scandalous. So scandalous.
First of all, Scott, you need to wear the shirt because you need to blend in, because we know you ain't no real Warrior fan, all right?
All so right. That's in conflict.
Great. All right? Great.
So, you know, for me, personally, I don't need a t-shirt to...
Oh,
I don't need to feel like I'm a part of the crowd, because guess what? I'm like a Golden State cockroach. I've been here during the nuclear fallout, and guess what? It's not always going to be this good.
But why wouldn't you put the shirt on? Like, what is
what
the
does the shirt have
I
to do with
Steph
anything?
I saw Steph lean over to someone on the bench. I was like, why does that guy hate us? Like, he couldn't really tell. You know, he was pointing at him. It was weird. It was completely. Do you feel guilty at any point? Somewhere the halftime.
I told
around.
You. What did I tell you?
I should
what,
be. I think you
what
said,
did I tell you?
I should
I
be
said,
wearing the shirt.
I said I hope they put me on the Jumbotron because yes, I will get up. And I will be screaming my ass off. It will be the best thing that ever happened to me. Not because of promotion-wise, but guess what? I'm as big a Warrior fan as I know, and a t-shirt doesn't sway that one bit.
I thought you were until you wouldn't wear the shirt.
Yeah.
So there's. I can understand if your point was, I hope to get on the Jumbotron, so my shirt
no,
is
not
seen.
Just I hope to get on the Jumbotron. I just would... because the whole point of the Jumbotron, what do they say? They say, put on your shirt! And... You know,
no, but that's my whole question.
Forcing people to put on the shirt doesn't. What is that?
You so
know,
you literally
like the guy ain't a real fan.
There's just no justification, then, is what I'm hearing. Because I can see the idea of I want to promote my t-shirt, so I'm going to try to get on the Jumbotron. I'm going to try to be different. But right now, I mean, there's just why wouldn't you wear the shirt?
Oh, no, he wanted to show him that he hates the Warriors now. I mean, that's what it was, right?
That would be the only reason.
No, my brand is called Made in Golden State.
It's not hate.
And
hates Golden State.
You know why? Because I was made in Golden State. And that's what I represent every time I go to a game. I don't care about what cheap-ass shirt Clorox is giving away. I'm not wearing a Comcast shirt. I'm not wearing an HTC shirt. I don't care who's sponsoring it that night. I'm wearing Made in Golden State every time I watch a Warrior game.
If you guys have an opinion on this, we would love to hear it. Our email is warriorshuddle@gmail.com.
Hit me at Made in Golden State. Talk all of this. Oh, I'm sorry. No more swearing. I don't want to cost Scott. I caught myself because I didn't want to cost Scott another 3 minutes.
I appreciate that. It's more than 3 minutes, but keep going.
Hit me up and let me know. And guess what? No matter what your take is, I don't care because I'm wearing Made in Golden State next time I go to the game.
If you do have an opinion, please drop it. If you have something for us to talk about on social justice, we'd also love to hear it. We have huge fun doing the show for you guys every week. Certainly true this week. Please remember, like I just mentioned, if you want to hit us on email, you know it now, at Warriors Huddle, warriorshuddle@gmail. Our Twitter account remains at Warriors Huddle. Website is warriorsworld.net. We'd love any reviews you can drop for us on iTunes. And Justin, who hates the Warriors, where can we find you, man?
At Made in Golden State, and actually I'm still trapped in Golden State on Facebook because I gotta stay true to my roots, at least in one place. And one last thing, I just wanted to say thank you for buying me that beer, even though I wasn't wearing a Warriors Huddle shirt.
my pleasure. We'll see you guys in a week.
Good.